in the world would you want to think of someone like Mary Magdalene as a Bible hero? I mean, this series is supposed to be about Bible heroes. After all, Mary Magdalene was a prostitute, right? Wrong. That's the first thing we need to get out of the way before we look at the things the Bible does say about Mary Magdalene. Nowhere in any gospel or any other biblical book is there any indication that Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Not one verse, not one word. So, how did she get that reputation? Well, Jesus was known for hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors. Correct. We have names for some of the tax collectors, Matthew, Zacchaeus, but no names for the prostitutes. Yeah, but Mary Magdalene had 7 demons cast out of her, right? Now let's look at other people we know about in the Gospels that had demons cast out of them. What are their characteristics? Well, they're known for yelling at Jesus in places of worship, or running around naked in graveyards, and making their neighbors scared to death of them. You couldn't make much of a living as a prostitute if you behaved like that, could you? Running around naked in graveyards? I mean, naked maybe, but graveyards? So what we do know is that Mary Magdalene had once been demon-possessed and had been healed. She was a follower of Jesus, along with some other women and men. One of the craziest demon-possessed people in Luke asked to become a follower of Jesus after Jesus made the demons leave him alone. That's in Luke, a little bit later in Luke 8. There's this guy who is crazy and has a legion of demons and lives naked in graveyards and scares people. And Jesus casts all these demons out of him. And after that, the man says, "Jesus, I want to be your follower." So maybe that's how Mary Magdalene ended up being a follower of Jesus. Maybe she was just so grateful that she just decided she was going to stick with Jesus. But apparently, let's get this straight, she went from demon-possessed to follower of Jesus, not prostitute to follower of Jesus. Okay, but what about that time she poured perfume on Jesus and the Pharisee who saw it said Jesus should have known this woman is a sinner? Okay, let's look at that passage. Here we have a Pharisee inviting Jesus to dinner, a woman in that town who had lived a sinful life comes in uninvited and begins to pour perfume on Jesus' feet and weep and dry his feet with her tears. Now, by the way, she didn't have to climb under the table to do this because everybody was lying on couches like this with their feet out, so his feet were easy to get at. You know. So the Pharisees were the religious people. So the Pharisee saw this and he said, "Ha! Jesus is not what he's cracked up to be, because if he was, he'd know that this woman is a sinner." And the narrator has already told us that the woman's a sinner. Jesus says the woman's a sinner, and so she's a sinner. But look, first of all, the woman in the story does not have a name. She isn't called Mary or Mary Magdalene, or she isn't called anything. Next, although everybody in the story says she has led a sinful life or she is a sinner, or Jesus says her many sins are forgiven, nowhere does it say that the woman was a prostitute. Yeah. Maybe she was a thief. Or maybe she didn't keep all the purity laws that the Pharisees kept. If you were a good Pharisee, everybody who didn't keep all the laws that you kept, you called them a sinner. So Mary, this woman put bacon fat in her turnip greens. So, I mean, in that case, this Pharisee would have called her a sinner. So how did we jump from she's a sinner to she's a prostitute? I think some preacher with a vivid imagination made that jump, but that is not in the Bible anywhere. Now, there was a woman named Mary who poured perfume on Jesus' feet. That's in John 12. But that was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. And she did it at her own house in Bethany, not at the house of some Pharisee named Simon. And she wasn't a prostitute either. Okay. By the way, if you're wondering, you know, there's all these Marys in the Gospels. If you're wondering why so many first century Palestinian Jews named their daughters Mary, it's because they didn't. They really named them Miriam, after Moses' sister, who was a famous prophet. And then Mary is just the English version of Miriam. Now let's go back to what the Bible really does say about Mary Magdalene. Okay, this is a scripture that Jeremy read. In the first paragraph, we learn that Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Susanna, and many other women traveled around with Jesus and his 12 disciples. Now, these women had their own money, which they chose to spend paying the expenses of the group. Okay? They had to eat. Mary Magdalene was a very generous person, but nobody put up any plaque saying, "This was donated by Mary Magdalene." She wasn't looking for credit. Traveling around with men that you weren't married to would have caused gossip about these women, followers, and about Jesus too, for that matter. But Mary Magdalene and the others must have cared more about hanging with Jesus and not missing anything he said than they cared about what people thought about him. So Mary Magdalene was not a prostitute, but she was a gutsy and generous follower of Jesus. Now, if we want our reputation to be gutsy and generous followers of Jesus, then we'll need to take a chance on trusting that we'll still have enough if we give money to God's dream for Edgewood Church and the world, and we'll need to focus on filling our minds and our hearts with Jesus' teachings and not spend so much time glued to the TV or the smartphone. So you miss an episode of whatever show everybody's talking about, and somebody says, "You didn't know that?" That's okay. Give that person the joy of filling you in. See, it'll be a good deed. Okay, now the next paragraph. The next paragraph tells us about Jesus' death and says that his followers watched from some distance away. Luke specifically tells us that the watchers included the women who had followed Jesus from Galilee. Mary Magdalene and the other women saw where Jesus was buried. Now, that they couldn't see from a distance. That involved tagging along as Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body and put it in a tomb. Now, that was risky. When a person is executed, a person who's a political prisoner, which the Romans thought Jesus was, when a person like that is executed by the government, that person's friends often make a political event out of the funeral. You know, you see that on television all the time. When when somebody, a group of an oppressed people is executed by the government, then there's a big public funeral and it's kind of a demonstration. That was also true in Roman times. So if the authorities saw you following behind somebody who was burying a political prisoner, they were likely to take names now in order to kick butts later. Mary Magdalene and the other women came back to the tomb on the first day of the week to put perfumes and spices on Jesus' body. They didn't have time to do that on Friday, and it had to be done because back then, people would go to the tomb. See, we're not talking about underground. We're talking about a tomb where the bodies were laid out on kind of like shelves, and people would go there to pay their respects. And so you had to do something to keep the smell down. And that's what the perfumes and the spices were for. So Mary Magdalene and the others went to the tomb, but they found it open. Jesus is not there. And two men with supernatural appearances told them Jesus was not dead, but alive. So, of course, they went running to tell the rest of Jesus' followers the good news. Now, please notice that the 11 disciples, the men, didn't watch Jesus being buried and didn't go along to help with the perfume and spices. Now, maybe preparing the body was women's work. Probably it was. But the boys could at least have gone along to help move the stone, but they didn't. Might be dangerous to be identified as a follower of Jesus, and these guys are not taking any chances. Well, that's okay. That's all right. It's always fun to be the only ones with the good news, isn't it? So Mary Magdalene and the other women go running in to tell Peter and the other guys that Jesus has risen from the dead. He's alive. Happy Easter. But guess what? The Bible says the apostles did not believe the women. Their words didn't make any sense to them. I mean, they were just a bunch of hysterical women after all. Probably went to the wrong tomb. None of Jesus' followers, men or women, were expecting a resurrection, were expecting Jesus to be raised from the dead. None of them. And they didn't know what to make of it, apparently having been asleep or absent all the times that Jesus predicted his death and resurrection. After all, the resurrection of the faithful dead was believed to supposed to happen all at the same time. Not one, and then all the rest several thousand years later. That's what Jews who believed anything about resurrection, and not all of them did, but the Jews who believed anything at all about resurrection believed that all the faithful dead would be raised at the coming of the kingdom of God. So, that's why, by the way, that's why so few Jews at the time believed that Jesus had been raised from the dead, because it wasn't supposed to happen that way. Okay? God changed the rules without telling anybody ahead of time. God does that. Beware. So we can understand if Peter wanted to go see for himself. So Peter goes to the tomb. He does not find Jesus' body there. Apparently the shining messengers have gone off duty. And the Bible tells us then Peter went away wondering what had happened. Mary Magdalene believed the testimony that she heard, but Peter did not believe the testimony that he heard from her. So, I think Mary Magdalene is a hero because she was willing to believe the unbelievable. Because it was such good news that only God could have done it. She was willing to be thought a fool and an idiot because she was willing to take a chance on trusting that the God of Abraham and Sarah, the God of Isaac and Rebekah, the God of Jacob, Rachel, and Leah, Moses, and Miriam, was still in the miracle-working business. She was willing to believe that even though Caesar and Herod had big mouths and a lot of rich friends, they weren't God. And they weren't in charge of the world. She was willing to believe that. She was not going to give up just because Caesar kept winning and all her friends felt hopeless. Mary Magdalene knew that God had brought life out of death, and that however dark things might seem, there would always be messengers of light saying, "Don't look for the living among the dead. Jesus is not in this tomb or any tomb. He's alive and loose in the world. Run and tell the good news." So Mary Magdalene was generous with what she had. She was gutsy. She was brave enough to ignore what other people thought about her. And she was willing to believe the unbelievable because it was such good news that it had to be God. I'd like to imitate that. Let's pray.